It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Let's go! Nick Saban, bold prediction, not only for LSU, but Garrett Nussmeier. Also, your boy got into a media beef, not on here, but on Power Hour SEC. We'll talk about that all coming up. We are 1 week away, baby.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me think, I'm getting the power. It's the power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me think, I'm getting the power. It's the power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power. LSU with Carter.
Let's go. Preston Guy will join us pretty soon. One of the, well, I'll just say it, he is the best LSU Twitter personality. But I could not believe my ears when everyone's number one most hated enemy, but now that he's retired, it seems like everybody likes him again. It is the great Nick Saban. He had LSU in his college football playoff bracket. Here he is on College Game Day. I think LSU and Garrett Nussmeier is going to be one of the all-time sleepers in college football this year at quarterback. LSU has these skill guys. Talk about all the receivers that they lost. You could shake a tree in Louisiana and get a guy to fall out, as he knows, with a lot of his best receivers. Well, I say a lot. His best receiver, Devonta Smith, won the Heisman Trophy. We can get into debate about Devonta Smith versus Julio Jones versus Calvin Ridley, but you get my point. LSU always has skill guys, and LSU, the number 11 seed in his college football playoff bracket. So that guy knows a little bit more about football than I do. Now, I want to start with this. I have LSU in the college football playoff right now, but it's not necessarily because of them. This is a discussion that Preston and I had, and we'll talk about it coming up in just a moment. But sometimes your best luck is who you play. And LSU plays a schedule that behooves them this year. And we tend to think of college football as a sport. We tend to think of it as our team. It comes down to what our team does. And that's something in the locker room that Brian Kelly should be preaching to his team, that all of this comes down to us. We control our own destiny. We. And that is true. You do control your own destiny in theory in the sport of college football. But oftentimes, you're a byproduct of your environment. Perfect example. What was the biggest story this weekend in college football? It was Florida State looking awful after one of the best seasons we've seen from a team in the college football playoff era. Definitely, many people would say the one team that got screwed the most in the 14 college football playoff era. They were a really good team. LSU got unfreaking believably bad luck that really the only two elite Florida State teams since Jameis Winston left were the years that you played them. Now, really think about the mathematical probability of that actually happening. LSU is not playing the best USC team at all. At all. Is this USC team good? Yes. First comment of the night, we'll go to Spectrum Wellcare. He said, Carter, your breakdown of USC's offense and Miller Moss was eye-opening. So, yes, you're getting a double dip of Power Hour LSU tonight, because earlier tonight, I did indeed drop my Miller Moss film study, and he is pretty daggum good. I've got to be real with you. He is pretty daggum good. And I understand that it is a sigh of relief as LSU fans that you do have some good luck going in your fortune. USC lost one of the best quarterback prospects we have ever seen in football in Caleb Williams to the NFL. They lost a Heisman Trophy winner to the NFL. But in many ways, that could be a somewhat good thing for USC as we move into this game. Because you know what Miller Moss is going to do? He is going to run the offense. You know what Caleb Williams did not do? He did not run the offense at all times because Caleb Williams decided to be Caleb Williams. It was a lot of backyard football, and there's nothing wrong with that when you're a special player like him. Miller Moss is not special, but what I can tell you is there were, I would say, four throws, and I watched the Louisville game twice before I actually started doing the film study. There were four throws in that game that if you would have told me that at quarterback, that was Drew Brees back there, I would tell you that there wasn't a difference. Now, is he as good as Drew Brees? Not even close. I know a lot of you are going to go crazy with it. But go watch the film study for yourself. There were four throws that made me go, holy crap. And you know who else has throws like that? Garrett Nussmeier. I tweeted out a clip earlier today from Zach Nagy, who tweeted out Garrett Nussmeier's highlights versus Georgia. And I still contend one of the best throws ever completed in LSU history in terms of high-level throws was the hole shot to Malik Nabers for a touchdown versus Georgia. That is the toughest defense to hit a hole shot. Now, I know this isn't a film study. It's tough to explain. But you have two quarterbacks that even though they have not played well, the level of difficulty of their throws is really, really, really high. And it really is like the similarities between Miller Moss and Garrett Nussmeier are startling. Both top 100 recruits, both 6'1"-ish pocket quarterbacks. Both their only start was in a bowl game at the end of last season. And Miller Moss was recruited by LSU, which was crazy. And I watched his tape at the time, and I was like, eh. And both in the transfer portal era stuck it out and won the job when a lot of people counted them out. And they're both replacing Heisman Trophy playmaking quarterbacks that can do their own thing. Now, I'm not saying Garrett Nussmeier and Miller Moss can't improvise. They can, but it is different. So, as Pierce points out, I am not lying. Now, I am not saying he can do this versus LSU. I'm not saying that at all. And once again, I want to be clear, because when people do these comparison things, they will run off and say, well, Carter compared Miller Moss to Drew Brees. It always happens. But I am telling you, I did this for you. I did it for you. You don't have to do it. I combed through every single play in the Louisville game. I did not watch the spring game where there was some rocky moments. You can't really take too much away from the spring game. You could take some. You can. But the truth is, you need to actually see when the bullets are flying. And that Louisville defense was solid. And I would say there were four throws that were unfreaking jaw-dropping believable throws for a guy who had never, ever, ever really played. So, I'm very interested to see how it's going to work. Now, What do I think LSU needs to do defensively? What is it? Well, the one thing that I would do, and this is going to sound kind of weird, but I would do what Durante Jones actually did versus Bryce Young in Alabama. Okay. Miller Moss is a shorter-ish kind of quarterback like Bryce Young. And one thing about those types of quarterbacks, and this is very, 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 very anecdotal. All right. Shorter quarterbacks, of course, as many of you know, have a tougher time seeing over the line of scrimmage. And what something else shorter quarterbacks struggle with is blitzers at the line of scrimmage actually backing out. So one of my bold predictions in this game is LSU will have a pick six versus Miller Moss. Now, why do I say that? Well, Moss likes to throw with a lot of anticipation. A lot. Now, that is a good thing, right? It is tough for quarterbacks, especially those who don't play a lot. He likes to do the NFL stuff where he's throwing a receiver who's not out of his break. He reads the game unfreaking believably well. Well, you know, Blake Baker's aggressive. And I understand going up against these good USC wide receivers, we want to make sure we don't get beat deep. Now, USC pulled off a double move late in that game that sealed it. I might get in trouble for this saying this, but that's okay. I would tell my corners to take some chances. I do think there are some pick six opportunities. And in theory, Louisville should have had a 99-yard pick six if the DB didn't cut back. So I do think there are some opportunities there. Now, the issue is, well, Morris Claiborne is not walking through that door. Ron Brooks isn't either, who caught two pick sixes on that 2011 team. But we got plenty of guys who can pull it off. All right. So I don't know. I've gone back and forth on the best way how I would attack it. One more thing that stuck out to me as far as USC's offense, and there will be a Patreon breakdown later in the week that will be a little bit more detailed than all of this. They do like to run and pull their linemen a lot. And the way that they elect to pull their linemen, I hate counter GT. I really, really, really do. It's not my variation of counter that I like a lot. And I hate counter GT when both the guard and the tackle from the same side pull, because I think it's a little bit easier nowadays to catch it from the backside defensively. It's not what I would do, but they like to do a lot of that. So we need to be prepared for it. They can run out of it, okay? And obviously last year, Florida State was also a counter team. Now, Florida State's offense is a little bit more centered around that, where USC, it's just kind of a piece of it, but we got to be ready for it. We do. Now, we say hi to Jared, who will be in Vegas, BT, Mick, Chance, Amicat. Let's talk some Johan Monaheim, or is it Jason Monaheim? I don't remember. That I believe will present a challenge to Bo Davis's group. Monaheim, I think, was a tackle who will now play center. Okay. Let's go to TOV. Jaden Daniels is on the sideline, not dressed out. If that's the case, that's normally a good thing. That means that they've seen enough and they want to make sure he doesn't get hurt. So I'll say this because this has been a question that I've gotten a lot of, okay, about my NFL channel. I've been doing a lot of preseason breakdowns. I've already done a Will Levis one today. I did a Trey Lance one from today. There's different teams that have different philosophies as far as like the NFL preseason is concerned, but I do say that because – Racy McMath and Jeray Jenkins are really pushing for roster spots. So pray for them, and hopefully they get their chance to make it in the NFL. But as always, feel free to super chat. Feel free to do that because we'll go straight to your question. And when you do super chat, I will. Here's what I'll do tonight. All the super chats I get tonight, I will. First thing when I land in Vegas on Thursday, go to the nearest craps table and put all of that Super Chat money on black or red. I'll let the highest Super Chatter decide it. I'll film it, and we'll go from there, okay? Because what's the fun in life if you don't do that at least once? What's the fun in life? I actually saw on the bachelor ship when I went to Vegas a few years ago, one of my buddies walked up and did that and walked in and said, "Hey, I'm just putting it all on black." And I watched him lose, and it was very sad. Walked in, put $1,000 down. And I was like, first off, I wish I could do that. It's always tough. What's going on? What happened?
I'm getting blue.
Oh, there's blue?
Yep. Gotta get blue. Come on.
But enough about that. Let's go to Mystic Rain. Do you think LSU's offense should try to run the ball more and limit USC's possessions? No. I this is a debate that I get into. Like Blake and I will yell at each other on the phone about this. And I talk about this all the time. Okay. If that is what you do best, then run the hell out of the football. But don't do that if that's not what you do best. If the offense runs better running fast with Garrett Nussmeier, who I think prefers that style, then do that. But if 4 yards here, 3 yards here is not what you do, then don't do that. Now, there is extra benefit in keeping the other offense off the field so it can give your defense a rest. Sure. I would prefer that. But if you're telling me that I can get a 60-yard bomb every time, which you can't. But if that is what you do, do what you do. Okay? The Limp Bizkit beard. So why is my beard like this? Okay? Well, I still have, like, you can't really see it. I have some irritant bumps. And I had, like, a weird surgery in college. So I have just bumps under my skin and right here. And the doctor said, you can't shave until I see him next Wednesday. And he has to decide if I'm clear to go to Vegas on Thursday. So a lot is riding on that visit. So I can't have a beard because it just itches uncontrollably. So I shaved everywhere on my face other than where the bumps are. So that's why it looks like that. Jordan says, I'm scared to death of Miller Moss. You shouldn't be. Okay? You shouldn't be. There's not many quarterbacks you should really feel like scared to death of, right? Like, you know, a quarterback would need to play perfect for you to be scared of them. Now, should you be worried? Yeah. I think that's a little bit different, though, than being scared. Like, I don't know how many quarterbacks I would be scared of. And on top of that, if there is one school who has done a better job of taking down the best of the best quarterbacks, you would probably say it's LSU, right? They're definitely up there. But I do think there's a piece of Lincoln Riley that's going to be excited that he has Miller Moss as his guy, right? It's kind of like one of those things where, you know, a player becomes bigger than the team. And that was the case with Caleb Williams. Not necessarily because of his attitude, but just because of his situation. Of course, I got 1,000 USC fans correcting me on my own film study. Well, if, you know, Deuce Robinson isn't a tight end, he's a wide receiver. One thing that drives me crazy about a film study. One thing. Okay. Semper, thank you. First super chat of the evening. I'm not scared of anyone but God. So far, we got $2 putting it all on black or red, whichever one. The thing that's that's interesting to me about doing these film studies. My favorite thing is when someone comments about something from the film study. But the worst is when you make a very minor mistake and everybody runs to the comment section to correct you. Okay, so my first Jaguars film study I did, I called Trevor Etienne Travis Etienne on accident. Didn't realize it. And guess what? Like a freaking down my list. Well, did you know that that is not his name? It's Trevor Etienne. So, if I make a mistake in a film study saying this guy's a wide receiver or a tight end, does it really matter? Does it really matter at all? Yeah, in theory it does, because you know, a wide receiver rarely puts his hand in the dirt. But is it really important in the grand scheme of things? Like, I already have a bunch of USC fans telling me in the comment section, well, I was going to take you serious, and then you called Deuce Robinson a tight end, which he was labeled in high school by every single recruiting service. By golly, G. Willikers, I accidentally called him a tight end. Was Brock Bowers really a tight end at Georgia? No. He was a slot receiver and running back. He had 19 carries. Carl says it's a business trip. All right, Simper. Let's see. Preston having a difficult time getting in. So Preston has no power, and he's still trying to do the show with us tonight. Oh, he's in now. Oh, man. I can't wait to see it. I think he's got some kind of nightlight. Let's get to this super chat, and then we'll get to Preston here in a moment. I hope we get that season opener win for the first time in 5 years. I think LSU will. I really do think so. Like, you know, for the season opener these last couple seasons, I'll be honest. I picked LSU to win both of them. But if you actually go back and listen to the film studies, you will see that when I was scouting Florida State, I was like, this team is really good. And Preston and I had this conversation in D.C. earlier today, and he made a really good tweet. And then just said, you know, sometimes in life you just get unlucky. You know, we started our show with this tonight. Like, those were the, by far, not even close, the two best Florida State games since the Winston era. And let's just say you put last year's Florida State team against the Winston National Championship Florida State team, that Winston team's probably favored by 3.5. Probably 3 or 3.5. That team was really good. Don't get it twisted. But that's how good that Florida State team was. Okay? Yes, the no power hour. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get the pressing guy. We'll also get his opinion, okay, on something that happened to me on Friday. Some of you are familiar. That's coming up right after this. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top 5 pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. P Guy 77 in the middle of a power outage joins us. How's the family holding up with no electricity?
you know, they're doing okay. It, you know, the little one is trying to bust in the adjunct studio here because we've got the best light in the house right now. He doesn't know what's going on, but yeah, we're doing all right. We're surviving. It's about 78 degrees. I think we're about 2 or 3 degrees away from just utter hell being in the house, but we're surviving. But you know what? I'll take a house with no power, with football on the horizon, than a powered house without football any day of the week.
Let's go. Perfect timing. So I was in this media feud. It was in the Arkansas side of it. And I actually reached out to you because, you know, I have a lot of friends that have like journalism ethics or journalism degrees, yeah. But you're still in the industry.
Yeah.
If you want to watch the video, watch it for yourself on Power Hour SEC, because one thing you should never do, I would like, Mike Scarborough can call me an idiot. All right. I would never go try and take down Tiger Bay. Never. I would never do that to anyone. So basically, he wasn't trying to take me down, but it was something that could eventually take me down. So if you want to see a 40-minute expose on it, you can go do it. I spent a day and a half putting that daggum thing together, and I relied on you. So I appreciate your friendship. You didn't really take sides. You looked at the evidence and all that stuff, and I appreciate your help with your vast media knowledge. So give people a little behind the scenes of how much pettiness there is amongst different media members, or do you?
So, you know, I try to keep all, you know, media, sometimes we butt heads and things happen, and you know, sometimes you have disagreements, and the problem with media feuds is our weapon is mass influence. Our weapon is bringing it very publicly. And the problem is you really want to make it private as most as you can. I mean, there's tons of guys I've butt heads with. Now, it's overwhelmingly positive, but you meet 100 guys and let's say you're hitting 95%, that means you're going to have 5 feuds over time. And if you do it enough years, you're certainly going to be more than 100 people in the media industry. You know, it's never pretty when you have to go public with it. You know, most of the time you want to just try to iron things out as best as possible without bringing your followers involved.
And right.
I cautioned you as best I can. Sometimes I've been a little public with it. I remember Moscona and I had a little, a little tiny dinger, I'll call it. And I just kind of had a coy, smart tweet I put out there. But you know what that led to was Moscona called me and apologized. And now me and Moscona are friends and we bump into each other in practice. And he's been on my show multiple times now. And, you know, it's cool. So, yeah, you know, it's never fun. It's never fun. I'll say this. When it gets to the point where you took it, it's truly a last resort type issue. It is truly a, hey, we tried to work this out, man. You're still screwing me, so I'm going to use my weapon and the weapon available to you, which is your platform. So it's never fun.
And that's why I wanted to have you on, because I didn't want anyone to just take my side of it, right?
Right.
So you can watch it for yourself.
Yeah.
And draw your own conclusions. But I know a lot of most people. I'm not even an Arkansas media guy. I mean, I do every Arkansas show with a Joe Burrow painting in my backdrop. But the truth is you should never try and take something down
that
someone has created. And I had let it go. There's plenty of evidence I showed that I initially let it go because there was you know, some situations where, you know, like you said, where I butted head with other LSU media members. Right. And guess what? It never saw the light of day. It stayed private. So I want everyone to understand that, like, this point forward, I'll probably never do another one like that again, other than me and you, Preston, because you have the best LSU Twitter account on the planet. Yeah, and I'll tell you this, and you didn't know. So I talked to somebody close to Jaden for a while the other night, and I'll share a few other details later about our conversations. And we talked about like how much like the social media influence there was on like the Jaden Heisman campaign. And you were such a big part of it. I mean, it was crazy. But the one thing people don't get is, yeah, you cover LSU and all that stuff, but you were just presenting facts.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people, like a lot of fans, and I appreciate them. They're like, you guys don't understand. This guy's a real LSU guy. He loves LSU. And Look, it might be true, but the fact of the matter is my work shouldn't reflect that.
Right.
If I'm doing my job properly, it really was facts-based reporting. And I said, look, yes, my opinion is that he deserves the Heisman Trophy. Here are the facts to support it, and I believe they're overwhelming. And if you actually sat down and read them, it really was overwhelming. But that's why Jaden Daniels won comfortably. You know, and maybe it was a little grassrootsy Heisman, you know, effort. Some people thought it was inappropriate how much I was lobbying, but I was like, it's the number one story with my beat right now. The season's over. There's one man who's about to win what I think is the most prestigious trophy in sports, period. Maybe the Lombardi, maybe the Stanley Cup, but I think the Heisman Trophy itself is right up there as the most prestigious, if you know, at least the tied with them.
Well, for individual awards, yes, absolutely.
Right. But I'm just talking about the trophy itself.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I get like most outstanding player in college football is not the highest honor you can get in American sports, but I think that if you say Heisman, I think it's very recognizable. Anyways, it's the biggest deal for LSU at the time, and I'm sitting on all this facts that I'm just very well educated to and really privy to, and it's like, well, I'm not really doing my job if I'm not presenting them to my beat here. So I was just trying to do some good old-fashioned, you know, hard numbers-rooted journalism with it. And, you know, if people thought it was lobbying, then so be it. That's what the facts supported.
Jared, with the super chat, Jared, if you have a question for Preston Guy, I know Jared is a huge supporter of Scarborough as well. So there you go. You know what? As far as the LSU USC matchup is concerned, let's first talk about football. Mm-hmm. Is there one matchup or any aspect of this that has stuck out to you positively or negatively for LSU?
Yeah, you know, the way I see it, there's two players that stand out to me for USC. One, you've got a really good answer for. One, you don't. Bear Alexander's a really good defensive tackle. I think a lot of people are overlooking him. Watch out for him. I think LSU's good on the offensive line front, though. I think they're going to be in good position. It's Zachariah Branch who scares me. Zachariah Branch, I mean, it's the fact that LSU's DBs haven't quite shown out yet at practice. Like, Ashton Stamps look good until you put a Kyron Lacy on him, and Kyron Lacy's just eating his lunch off camp. It's not to say he's bad, but I mean, Zachariah Branch is a guy kind of like an Ashton Stamps. So that's the guy who really gives me a concern here. The good news here is this isn't a game where you have to hold USC to 17 to win it. I do think LSU is going to move the ball well, and I do think they're going to give that defense every chance to make mistakes as needed.
Aiden Anding commits to LSU. Does that move the needle for you at all? Because I see this front page story, tigerbait.com. Your thoughts on Aiden Anding committing?
Number one, yes, he's a three-star corner, but he's also a big-bodied guy, long limbs. They really like what they do with him. And number two, Corey Raymond's from this state, knows ballers when he sees them. I love that they said, you know what, we're going to take the Louisiana three-star kid, and we're going to roll with him. A lot of people have this mindset that a three-star from Louisiana is better than a four-star from wherever. And I don't know that it's quite data-backed, but, you know, one day I'd love to do a deep data analysis. I do think there's a lot of truth to the fact that Louisiana players do perform better at LSU than they do elsewhere. I did do a deep dive breaking down the data on five stars from Louisiana, and five stars, when they sign with LSU, go to the NFL, they're drafted higher, and they have more successful college careers when they go to LSU versus leaving state. So I think there's a bit of truth to go for your Louisiana dogs. That's part of why locking up your state is just so important, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, okay, just on the top, because, all right, I once did a three-star from Texas versus a three-star from Louisiana deep dive, and the three stars from Louisiana won, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I just looked at, like, the top 50 Texas because they just have so many guys, right?
Right, yeah.
But let me just try and think, like, just anecdote. Obviously, like, one that just sticks out is, like, Ishmael Softshore, right? Yeah. And I was like, wow. Yeah. And some like Cam Robinson and like Landon Collins worked out. But now that I think about it, I was like, yeah, that actually does make sense. A lot of fun.
You almost made me want to pull up. I don't have it prepared in front of me.
We'll do it for another time because I do want to ask you about LSU secondary.
Okay.
You mentioned Zachariah Branch.
Yeah.
Do you think that they can hold up? Because, you know, I looked at the Louisville game twice before I watched the Miller, before I started cutting the Miller Moss thing.
Yeah.
And there were some ridiculous throws that this guy made.
Yeah.
So are you concerned about that matchup?
About Miller Moss in general versus the DBs?
Yes. And just their receivers.
Let me tell you this. There's two struggling components that we were looking at for this defense all fall camp, right? Obviously, last year, the linebackers were serviceable, right? I don't think anybody on that defense was per se good, but the linebackers were the strength of your team last year, right? And you get Harold Perkins, Greg Penn, the Weeks brothers. You feel pretty good about linebacker. It was defensive line, which was probably your number one concern, and then your DBs right after them. The defensive line actually impressed me this fall camp.
Oh,
I'm being genuine. I'm not blowing smoke up your you know what here. Like Jacobian Guillory looks like he's ready to take on that D tackle role. And the defensive ends in particular have shown off. And if you look at it, there's actually a lot of veteran players on this defensive line all of a sudden. I mean, at least three out of four of your guys are going to be senior players. That's if Deshaun Womack isn't starting, which if he starts and he's beating out all these fifth-year seniors, that's only a good thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you want your five-star sophomore to be able to beat out the fifth-year seniors. And you got Gio Paez, who's obviously a veteran guy, and he's looking pretty solid. They made some plays, and I think that the strength of this defensive line is going to be the rotation and depth and freshness. You know, I don't know that there's necessarily particularly an end. I don't know that there's a guy who is better gassed than the player fresh behind him, if that makes any sense to you. So, yeah, they impressed me. The DBs, I mean, they look improved, but I think that they're going to be something that gets better and better as the year goes on. I don't think game one they're going to be world beaters. I don't think there's a Tyrann Mathieu getting a punt return for a touchdown on this cornerback squad. I'm a little worried about what Miller Moss can do and what Zachariah Branch can do. They're going to have the game plan around Zachariah Branch because I don't think there's a DB on this team. You can say, hey, that's a dude. Hey, Julio Jones, Patrick Peterson, go get him. You know, there's none of that. That you don't have a Peterson you can look to. You don't even have, you know, a Trey White you can turn to here.
Right.
I mean, it is – you know, you're going to have to do a lot of zone coverage, in my opinion, because I don't think you have guys who can or at least man up with zone coverage over the top to assist you here. I think you're going to have to game scheme around it. And like I said, the good news is I think if you can hold them under 34, you're still got a good chance. I know the over-under is 61, but I mean, would I be shocked to tell you that this offense might hang 40 on them? Yeah, I could see that. That's definitely possible. I think you have a chance to win as long as you keep them, you know, 34 or below. I think beyond that, it's a tough ask on the offense.
Are there any concerns for LSU's offense? Not only for you, USC, are there any concerns for you?
Backup center is a concern for me. Dellinger is clearly, he's clearly going to be your backup center. DJ Chester's out, but he had some trouble with snaps, and the offensive line looked a little off without him in his spot. You could see that there. So, yeah, that's a concern. But realistically, the running backs have impressed me. I am a little concerned about how the rotation's going to go. I think Caleb Jackson is a freak. He's chiseled out there, and he's clearly your biggest, strongest, and fastest back. And I'm afraid that a few too many reps are going to be taken away from him because they want to do a little too much by committee. So that would be a concern. Yeah, I'm really at the point where I'm like, yeah, just roll Caleb Jackson out there. I'm fine with using backs situationally. You know, like remember against Wisconsin, they had Josh Williams on the goal line set. I don't want to see that. I don't. Like, there comes a point, like, and I remember Hunt Palmer asked me about this. Should you not, you know, should you try to be more unpredictable? And it's like, well, you're at the 1-yard line. how much are you going to shake this up? No, put the big chiseled running back who can run people over in the one, and then use Josh Williams for, first off, one of the best blocking running backs I've ever seen ever at LSU. And that's something nobody will ever give you the praise you're due for. Great receiving back. I just think they should use him, you know, when there's more of a wide open field situation. Anyways, receivers look good. Tight ends have impressed quite a bit. I guess outside of that, maybe the concern is Nussmeier might be a little turnover prone, maybe a little bit. But I think the film he's given since that Southern game has kind of shown he's been pretty careful with the ball, including Georgia, the bowl game, backup option. I think he's been pretty good if you actually look at the amount of interceptions per throws he's taken. So I don't have a ton of concerns with these offenses is the short answer.
We appreciate you. I want to – how many dogs do you have?
Oh man, I'm so sorry. They're freaking out because of the.
Well, yeah, no. I've not shed a tear about it.
I'm trying to get them to calm down. My wife's working overtime.
No. We're gonna let you go because you don't have any power. But how many? But answer the question.
I've got two dogs. Two dogs. I've got one mutt and one corgi.
How big are they?
All right, the corgi is 35 pounds. He's a chonker, man. He's adorable.
Corgis aren't that big.
He's pretty thick. Yeah, no. The corgis on average are 20 to 30 pounds. Okay, but here's the deal. Okay, before we body shame the dog here, okay, I'm gonna stand up for my boy. The corgi is also supposed to be 22 inches long, okay? He's 29 inches long. What? That's like being 6'5", okay? Of course the 6'5 guy's going to be a little overweight. I mean, he's huge. He's probably a little chubby, but no, he's a cute dog. The mutt is 20 pounds. We found her begging for food outside of a dumpster 15 years ago, and she won't grow.
No!
Yeah, real talk. Alyssa was 16 when she found her, and she brought her home, and now she is 30.
well, text me photos. I'll put it up on the screen because I know your family is dealing with the power outage. I appreciate you hanging out. I think tonight you become the illustrious member of the 3-time guest club.
Is that real?
Yes. Wow. You've been the third.
Let me tell you what's really got him freaking out, though. So there's woods behind my house. A tree fell over and knocked over the power line. There's all these men basically in our backyard, you know, chopping up trees and working on power. So that's really what's got him a little freaked out there.
That's good. Well, send me a photo of the dogs if you don't mind. Because I know you probably got 1,000 on your phone. I'm going to put them on the screen because we are very, as you know, Preston, we're very pro dog here. So I didn't have a dog for 27 years of my life.
Oh, really? Wow.
And then, that's a big reason why my wife and I fell in love because she had a little dog and I fell in love with the dog. And now we got another dog. And now if I get rich, I'm just going to be like Miranda Lambert and have like 1,000 dogs. Feel like a random celebrity that has a lot of dogs.
Our dream retirement plan is we want to do a Hawaiian corgi farm. That's real talk. We want to just buy a ranch in Hawaii and just have thousands of corgis around.
Wait, I'm thinking wrong of like the corgi. What is a corgi? Hold on.
All right, a corgi.
Okay, all right.
I can grab them. You want to see them?
Yeah, yes. Go grab them.
Where are my team
corgis? We're going to get back into LSU stuff. Let's go to Mystic Rain. He says, with the Nick Young profile, I agree Caleb looks like the RB in the room. Chance says, Colin Coward's predictions. My dear beloved Colin Coward, my idol, along with Bill Simmons, and Stuart Scott, and John Saunders, and Chris Mortensen, and John Clayton. Colin Coward's predictions. Dennis Allen, first coach fired. Agreed. Jaden wins Offensive Rookie of the Year. Man, I'll tell you this. Jaden looks amazing. Okay? And I'll share a few other things about my Jaden combo the other day with someone in his circle. When I tell you how much they like Jelani Watkins, because Jelani Watkins went out there and worked out with Chris Hilton. Well, look at this thing. Whoa, it is thick. It's thick. Look at the size of that thing.
Yeah, it's huge.
How do you even lift that thing?
A lot of lineman drills back in the day prepared me for this moment. But he's a good boy. This is my favorite dog I've ever had.
Look.
Good boy.
Oh, my God. Look at this thing.
Say, hey, Tofu.
Tofu.
Yep. His name's Tofu Son Goku.
Tofu.
My wife wouldn't let me name him Goku straight up. We had to get a goofy name for him. Man, I'm out of breath lifting that dog. He's heavy.
Yes. No power. You're sweating. I didn't.
I'm so sweaty right now, dude.
Yeah. He lifted it. So you have no idea when your power's coming back. None.
All right. So it went out at 2:30. Okay. And I think you texted me maybe a little bit after that. And you were and you'll hop on. I was like, yeah, no problem. They'll have it fixed by then. And I kind of gave you a warning. They said 5:30 at first. Okay. 5:30 comes around. They back it up to 7:30. Oh, God. 7:30 comes around. They back it up to 10:30. And now they're telling us midnight.
Midnight.
So I'm like, all right. I went to my cousin's house and we got the generator because I'm like, you know, we just give me the refrigerators. Just the refrigerators. You know what I mean? Like just keep the you know how expensive groceries are nowadays. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We got all the baby's milk and stuff in there. I mean, let's save that. So my wife is actually currently setting up a generator. We're going to see if she blows it up.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for, as your family deals with this dire situation. I bet your mom was, I bet not your wife. I bet your wife was like, okay, thank God he's off that segment. Like, no, he asked me to get the dog. I can see her struggling to get the generator. I am causing chaos in the guy household. So
no, it's actually a lot of fun. Hey, like I said, it's the no power hour, baby.
No power hour. What's
up, babe?
Can you put gas in the generator?
Yes, my wife's asking me to put gas in the generator.
Can I put it while it's running?
Not while it's running. No.
Well, and what's your wife's name again? I'm sorry,
Alyssa. Would you like to say hi?
No, I don't have makeup.
She says she's sweaty and hadn't put on makeup. Well, I'm sweaty too, but look, here's the deal. I'm already ugly and everybody knows it. So,
I'll say this. She did a good job picking out turquoise. It looks great on you. great color. It looks, I love a good aqua. And we will talk to you soon. Don't forget, okay? Tigerbait.com. It is very important, though. You cannot follow LSU Athletics on Twitter or X without pressing guy. Okay. There was one other story though that I wanted to get to, but I want you to get back to your family. I had Andy.
No, get to it. I'm fine.
I won't say who because it got pretty ugly. So I had Andy Staples on earlier this year. Okay. And he brought up a guy's name and I was like, wait, where do I know this name from? I was like, oh, I remember. And it was a guy who left Jaden on off his Heisman ballot altogether.
John Canizero?
No, it wasn't John Canizero. I'm not going to bring this guy's name up because I do think some of my people started tagging him again. and I was like, Andy, you got to let him know. Because I tweeted him like twice. I was like, dude, I will do whatever if you can jump on my show and explain yourself. And obviously he never responded. And I asked Andy, I was like, please, just tell that guy, I promise I will not sick the dogs after you, no pun intended or whatever. But I would love to hear every single person who did, like for instance, like Joel Klatt put Michael Penix number one. Fine. Mm-hmm. As long as you put Jaden Daniels number two. He was no less than two, right?
Yeah.
And at the bare minimum, he's no less than three. So for people that don't know, when you vote for the Heisman, you pick a one, you pick a two, and you pick a three. If you're leaving him off the ballot altogether, that's nefarious because you're doing that because it hurts him the most, right? It goes against, you know, his total. So I'll tell you who the writer was after because I don't want to get into it. But you were that's why I say that because you did it better. Like I was posting a ton of Jaden stats, every single media member, but I highly recommend everyone go back. You could do a Twitter like filter and look at Preston's tweets. And boy, you put in work. You put in work for my boy.
You know the funniest part about it was after he won the Heisman, people found my Venmo and started sending me beer. They sent me beer money. I swear to God. Like, I was like, guys, I'm just reporting the facts here.
Go read it for yourself. Go read it. It was just facts. And everyone's like, well, you're an LSU rider. I was like, well, yeah. I mean, he was another, but you, just go read it for yourself, man. Anyway, it was chef's kiss. Well, thank you so much. The dog thing was so epic. And we'll talk to you soon, man.
Yeah, sure thing, Cardi. Thanks for having me, man. Hopefully we'll do it next time. With power. Guys, believe it or not, I have a studio. Like, I have good equipment. Yes. This always isn't just me on my cell phone with a little ring light lighting up half my face. Sometimes it looks a little decent. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. This was an all-timer, man. Well, Preston, we'll talk soon, man.
All right. Till later, LaCarter. See ya.
Oh, that was so great. Dude, corgis are great. Corgis are great. Now, what I'll tell you. What's up, Jay Rahid? One of my really good buddies. Okay, I want to give Doug credit, and we'll get back into LSU football. Doug, all right, now first thing is this was kind of a weird thing with our guest last week, James, the Florida State fullback. He was on with us last Tuesday. And Doug looked at James in the face and said, Haynes King is going to whip Florida State's ass. And James is a nice guy, so he took it. He just took it on the chin, and Doug was right. Doug was right. Y'all were spitting in Doug's face, and he was telling y'all, hey, Haynes King can play. Now, what's interesting is my guest loved your profile photo because my guest, obviously, he likes Jimbo Fisher, but how things ended did not work out all too well. But yeah, Preston's an absolute beast. Let's go to BT. I'm honestly 50-50 about this game until I see the LSU run game and run defense. I will give BT a lot of credit. I did watch the USC game versus Louisville. And do I think Zachariah Branch is really good? Is he the most talented receiver on the team? Yes, but I don't think so Preston was talking about Zachariah Branch a bunch. I do think he is their best offensive weapon. He's definitely the best with this football in his hands. But 6 and 8 are those dudes. Jacoby Lane is number 8. Makai Lemon is number 6. They're good. They're really, 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 really good. Okay. Now, let's go to Chance. Amazing how good Haynes King looks now that Jimbo isn't ruining him. Okay. Let's have a conversation about it. And put this into an LSU perspective, okay? There are instances where a really, really good player can make a coach who's not that great look great, right? Part of what made Cam Newton so unfreaking believably good at Auburn was Gene Chizik was his coach, right? Gene Chizik. Who didn't get another head coaching job after he left.
Okay.
I think Mike Norvell is still a really good coach. I do. I really, 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 really do. DJ Uiagalelei cannot play. He just can't play. Okay. I was also shocked that Florida State went and got wide receivers out of the portal that didn't produce in their previous stops. Okay? I'll be honest. And this will come off as, you know, kind of distasteful, and he's going to get better as the season moves on. But if you're a member of the PHL Patreon, you know this, and this has just been up in our Patreon forever. I did not have a really good grade on Jaylen Brown. I really didn't. I thought Jaylen Brown was okay. I didn't think he was great. I didn't think he was a 5-star. Like, I thought Kyle Parker was a better player than Jaylen Brown. And the recruiting rankings said the exact opposite. I would not have went and got him and gave him a single digit and think he's going to be a big-time player. I wouldn't have expected him to just step in right away and be a slot guy. If I'm going to get a wide receiver out of the portal, I need production at your previous stop. So you went and got Malik Benson, who is going to be really good, but he didn't really produce in Alabama. So I thought Florida State made some weird transfer moves. They got Roydell Williams from Alabama, who's pretty solid. But that was just not the right quarterback. That was just not the right quarterback. And I have so many opinions about DJ Uiagalelei that I'm not going to get into tonight because he is a very interesting case study on a lot of different things. But the truth is he was the number one pocket quarterback in his recruiting class. The number two pocket quarterback was CJ Stroud. Okay. So I bring all that up because there are times when coaches don't go get the best guys. They go get guys with good recruiting rankings, but little production at their previous stops. But sometimes you can go get guys with a ton of production. You bring them in, and the coaching is bad. So what happened over the weekend? Well, I will tell you this. Whoever you are sitting right now watching this show, okay, I'm looking at you. We'll get back into the comments. There's probably not a lot of you that have watched as much NFL preseason as I have, okay? I have watched a lot of NFL preseason. A freaking lot. More than I would like to admit. Now, why have I watched so much preseason football? Well, number one, I care more than most about LSU players in the NFL. I don't know why that is. I just do. I just find it interesting. But number two is Power Hour NFL is growing, right? Now, I'm not, you know, Brett Coleman or anyone like that, but it is growing. And I'm doing a lot of preseason film studies. And one thing I found to be very interesting in the preseason is, well, Mason Smith has had a pretty good preseason. And it was just a little anecdotal. And, you know, you're going up against, like, bad backups, and it's not how an actual game is going to be. Well, turns out Pro Football Focus has Mason Smith as one of the best defensive tackles out of anyone in the preseason. One of the best pass rush win rates of anybody in the preseason. Anybody. You know who else is having a really good preseason? And y'all are about to be floored with what I'm about to tell you. Omar Spates. Les Snead, the guy who architected the Los Angeles Rams Super Bowl, made the decision to get rid of Matthew Stafford, or Jared Goff, go get Matthew Stafford. Okay, made all these crazy moves, drafted Puka Nacua, all that stuff. He said Omar Spates is a lock to make the roster. Omar Spates, 53-man roster. What? Wait, what? I understand. Madhouse is in the rearview mirror. But my God, what the hell? What the hell? Omar Spates, yes, this is not me, all right? I've actually watched some of the Rams preseason games. I've not done a Rams film study. I should go do a Stetson Bennett one. But holy crap, Omar Spates is going to be an NFL linebacker. And I will be honest. I had a really good grade on Omar Spates coming over from Oregon State. I really thought he could play. Like, I have a ton of tweets saying this guy's good. This guy's good. It's not just Pac-12 stuff. He came over here and was straight hot dog water. Like, Omar Spates was good at Oregon State. Well, Carter, it's the Pac-12. No, he was all Pac-12 good. Like, he wasn't just... like, okay, he was good. And I know he had a bunch of injuries. But what I would say, and I tend to think this happens a little bit more than people would like to think, the Florida State game broke that LSU defense. Like, literally, it broke them. Deuce Chestnut, he was on a milk carton after that game. Keon Coleman beat him that bad. And then we decided to switch everything up defensively. We got rid of the Harold Perkins thing in middle linebacker or weak side backer. And even if, like, I've overhyped Blake Baker this offseason, sometimes getting rid of the coach is more important than whoever you pick to replace him. That's why whenever, you know, a coach is kind of sort of on the hot seat, or you just kind of bring up the possibility we can go in a different direction, I hate it when people say, well, who are you going to pick to replace him? Well, that's not the problem. That's not the problem. Okay? That is not how we look at anything in life, really. We don't. Or at least you shouldn't. If you're in a nasty relationship, a loveless marriage or whatever, you shouldn't look at it like, well, who else can I go get? Who else is out there? Who else wants a 37-year-old divorced person with three kids? That's not the point. Like, you just got to get out of it if it's not making you happy. Same logic applies here. Okay? So even if Blake Baker is not as good as we think he is, I do think he's really good. I do think the explosive pass rate thing is a little overblown. So we'll see. But I'm right on the money here with Brian. Forrest H. just, man, that team last year was good. That team last year was really good. And it was the first time in the playoff era the two best teams in the country were left out of the playoff. And they played each other, and the final score was 63-3. But yes, I'm cheering. And look, I know I was very critical of Omar Spates because he did play terrible, but I'm cheering for him. At least he played and didn't tear the locker room apart like some other transfers did. And he did get an unreal amount of hate, including from some prominent LSU players and including myself, okay? Because he was playing really bad compared to expectations, and we did give him Uno. But now you zoom out, it kind of makes sense. You think it's harder to play linebacker in the SEC than it is in the NFL preseason? It's not. All right, next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. So far tonight, big shout out to Semper DC Vlogs, Jared, and Brian. So DC makes a good point about the season opener. We'll come back to it. Okay. Once again, if you want to know about the media beef, whatever, it is kind of weird because it is involving Arkansas, but this does happen when you start to cover other teams, right? Like, you know, I don't think LSU fans are the most delusional. I really, really, really don't. The fan base that's the most delusional that I've dealt with, okay, and I've tried to explain this to them a gazillion times, they won't listen, are Dallas Cowboys fans. I don't know how anyone could be a Cowboys fan. It has nothing to do with the playoff losses. It's just some of their fans, like, they still pile on me, and I mean pile on me, for being a Dak Prescott believer, or at least thinking he's good. And there's still Cowboy fans that believe Trey Lance is better. There's still some commenting under my Trey Lance video today. 5 interceptions Trey Lance had in a preseason game with backups. Now, 2 weren't his fault. Another was kind of in the middle, but you still threw 5 picks in a preseason game versus backups. And there's still some Cowboy fans that want that. Over Dak Prescott, he was number 2 in QBR, number 2 in EPA per play. Donald, that's a good question. I'll have more for Tuesday. I want to make sure I'm feeling better. I'm still kind of in the middle. I still don't know when, like, I won't know until Wednesday if I'm going to be able to go. I know it sounds like crazy, but I need to be fully cleared by Dr. Darv, my guy. But I think I will be on Wednesday. So I get in early Thursday morning, and I kind of want to do something on Friday because I do have something lined up on Thursday. Kind of want to get together somewhere on Friday. I think someone sent me something about some LSU get-together at Circa. Circa is my favorite place to be at in Vegas, but it's off the Strip, and I'll be staying on the Strip. But the only time I've been to Vegas, I stayed at – well, I've been to Vegas twice, but the only time I've been to Vegas, I stayed at Circa. Okay. That's right, Jared. I don't think people truly understand how good Dak Prescott is at football. Well, he loses in the playoffs. Well, hell, one guy wins – all the Super Bowls now anyway. Let's go to Doug. Jared's at the Mandalay Bay. The last neutral site opening game win was Burrow versus Miami in 2018. You were there. Yeah, that Miami team was just poorly coached. If you actually go back and look at the game, Miami just kind of gave us that game. They had a bad pick six. They had the worst gap integrity on the Nicholas Brissett touchdown run. Very weird game. Here's why I don't like difficult season openers. Is there is no preseason. So these 18 to 22-year-old kids have to get in a plane. No preseason game. Only people you've hit are your own teammates, and you really haven't gotten a chance to hit. And boom, you're on national TV, neutral site. Half the team probably is in a city they've never been in before. And there's 90,000 people judging your every move. It's hard. Mentally, it's a lot. It's a lot. And you wonder why I banged the table for preseason something, even if it's in the spring. It is so weird. It is the only sport where there is no preseason. No nothing. But yeah, I think that's going to be it for me. Oh yeah, no. And don't get it twisted, Slander Pop. I'm with you on that. I just don't like it. I really, really, really don't, because you're just going in so raw as a team, especially in the portal era. Oh, the Mud Mafia is here tonight. Thundy, what do I think about Jamie French? I would say, at this point, but we'll see. Ja'Kai Douglas looked pretty good. Shout out Thibodeau. Shout out Homa. Yeah, he did have some good moments. Wait, Tyler's been in here? Y'all know it's tough when I have a guest on here. It's tough to see all your comments. I know. And I think Bo Nix is actually going to be a pretty solid pro. I really do think, like, Bo Nix can be something. Jordan's still hanging in. Oh, yeah, I'll be on this show tomorrow. I honestly did not see USCJ Lost in the Sauce podcast. Kind of scary going into dangerous territories tomorrow on a USC show. Talking to Makai Lemon. Excited. There you go. All right. I'll do it for me. It is Pow Out LSU. Boom. Very important. You go to Twitter, let Preston Guy know you enjoyed his appearance and the Corgi. The Corgi was epic. Tonight, we are doing. Oh, we're doing meatballs, man. Meatball stuff with a lot of chopped onion. Ooh. Now your breath. Ooh. You would think you're on House of Dragon. Your breath after the onion. That's going to be good. We will see you tomorrow on Blake Show and on the USC Show. I think I'm on at 5. I'll post on Twitter. Let's go. Let's go.